Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive and quarantined in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name is Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
Yes, we are exhibiting social distancing like we always do for every recording. But I have to say one thing, it's been fun to watch on the Facebook pages, all the folks that are at home banging out all that extra hobby time and getting quite a few new projects done.
Those of us that don't have essential jobs anyway.
Yeah, as I say, Ray and I unfortunately don't fit in that category because both of us have essential jobs to the... So yeah, I love the... don't go to grocery store, don't do this, don't do that, but we expect you here at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, boss. So yeah, so I'm very jealous of those of you who are getting some painting done. So I'm doing just the opposite. I'm getting pretty close to nothing done. And meanwhile, I still have a big stockpile of stuff that was supposed to be transported to the tournament we were supposed to have 2 weeks ago. So I got to figure out when to put that into storage and figure out how I'm going to store all that, because that did not quite come to fruition as past. That being said, some interesting news coming out of Games Workshop. We will get to the Adepticon preview, and we will get to Saga of the Beast later in the show. But the big news, it's kind of an interesting times. Games Workshop gave a bunker down order. Ray, you brought this to my attention. Enlighten the group what this means.
They sent out an email. Anybody who gets the emails from Games Workshop already knows, of course, but they made the announcement that starting this last Tuesday, which was a lot of the shops their first, they would be closed until, I think it was at least the 15th of April, but maybe longer depending. So not only did the stores close, but so did their distribution centers. So anybody who had orders up, including Saga of the Beast, there's a good chance that those things did not get sent out. I know for a fact that our local game store did not get any shipments because, fun fact, they would have been shipped out Wednesday morning. So until basically everything blows over, it's pretty much impossible to get anything new from GW. Specifically from GW, it is impossible. If you're one of the lucky people whose game shop is still open, you can pick up some new products, at least new for you, but we're getting to the point where it's going to be, your hobby is going to be limited to what you already, at least for now.
So just another, another reason to get everything painted, but it is going to be interesting. The, you know, Psychic Awakening, you know, has been kind of this update to every codex type thing. And we'll take a look at this from a competitive standpoint. One, the problems that happened right before, you know, we had LVO, they said that's, you know, 30-day blanket of the following, any rules that come after this day, 30 days prior to the event, will not be included at the event. And I think that cut out the new Grey Knight Psychic Awakening. So Grey Knights were not a factor at LVO, which also meant that players had a little more time to woodshop. I think most of the players were too busy focusing on LVO, but once that stopped, there is really no off season right now for ITC. So Grey Knights slowly were creeping in. We talked about Lawrence Baker's list going undefeated. He came in second for that particular event. Yes, I know I got that wrong, that episode. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm kidding. I do appreciate those miscues. But long story short, be interesting because Saga of the Beast is available for digital download. So you can get that, but that means nothing's coming out till probably May 2nd is what they were thinking. So for us old codgers, and you guys know who you are, back in the day when we got three codices a year, big deal, you know, nice little pause to get caught up. But I think it's interesting, you're going to see a bit of a power discrepancy as some people have gotten their updates and some people haven't. So now it used to be, well, I'm only 30 days behind. Now you're going to be closer to 60 to 90 days behind the curve. And does that mean they're going to release faster to make up time? I don't know. Nothing's been announced. I can tell you with my marketing background and what Team Workshop has done in the past, that has not worked for them because they recognize that they release products too quickly. People won't buy them because they need time for their wallets to heal and buy more stuff. So it'd be very interesting to see. Is the whole update timeline been stopped for indefinite amount of period?
Well, and here's another thing I'm curious about too, is I'm sure that they had a lot of this stuff already planned out. Like the Psychic Awakening books have been coming out monthly. Well, April was supposed to be the next book, War of the Machine, I think it was called.
Engine War.
Engine War, that's it. Too many names. But it was slated for April. Are they still going to keep the digital release to whenever they originally planned to do it? And then just say, oh, sorry, once everything's up and running, if you order it through us, we'll get it shipped out as soon as we can. I mean, that's actually really probably one my biggest question. Where does the digital where is the digital stuff going to fit compared to the physical? Are they going to move it to with the physical, or are they going to stick it to the original?
Excellent question. Yeah, nothing's been answered regarding that. We'll have to sit and wait. Interesting. We'll talk about the Adepticon preview a little bit later in the show, but they're full steam ahead in terms of telling you what's in. You know, they revealed what factions are going to be in. War of the Spider, which is the book after Engine War, but no release dates. We're still at the, going back to the physical release, every single preview model from LVO, not even a mention during the Adepticon preview. So are those things coming out? That could be a major meta shift as those armies are getting units that really change up the function of how those armies work. So, and likewise, we also got no new rules at this point for any of the stuff that's been previewed. So it's like, what's going on? Don't know. And I really don't know what's going to keep things flowing at this point. We've seen other industry change up what's going on. For example, even the mighty Disney is being affected by this. Their blockbuster hit Frozen 2, available for digital download 3 months early. You know, get the revenue stream in. So they could follow suit with more digital options and get that in our hands. Maybe they will replace some of the rule stuff with some of the new TV shows that they're supposed to be coming out with. So who knows? I don't envy them. I know at my work, you know, we were trying to figure out what to do with this. And I don't know. I think we took a cautious route, and I think we got burned for it. So hopefully we can recover. But I think the good news is everybody's in the same boat. So it's new territory, and we'll figure it out as we go along. So, yeah, be curious to see what Games Workshop does in terms of new product. And, you know, their whole model is that, you know, no pun intended, the old model back in the day was you go to your local game store every month to pick up White Dwarf so you can get an idea what's going on. That, you know, they still have White Dwarf. Let's be honest, they want you to go to the Warhammer community site because there is at least three updates a day. If you got new product coming out, what are you going to update with? So, I mean, yes, I know not everything. There's the Regimental Standard. There's the fiction that goes with Psychic Awakenings, all that stuff. It loses some of its teeth if you don't have, you know, the big release coming up behind it. So maybe it's digital only for the next 60 days. Who knows? But I also don't know the science and the logistics of putting up a digital product for sale on a website. No idea. Don't pretend to even know about that. So my guess is, knowing what my wife has to go through with her job right now, it's not something you can do from home.
So. I could see that.
So that's one of the big changes there. So in the meantime, what about the ITC and competitive gaming? So interesting enough, this was last episode, literally as we were recording, I could see my messages just piling up. And I was like, it was on the TO page, which they're really cracking down on. We were trying to figure out a solution to all this. So where we are now in the official announcement, in case you missed it, is if you have an event going on right now, you need a token through Beskos Pairings to make it official. Basically, this shows this event is attached to this token, and that means you're officially registered as an ITC event. Any token at this point has been pulled by the ITC. It's now up to the regional reps to reissue any tokens for any future events moving forward, and we are to abide by the local laws set in point. So, for example, if you're in a quarantined area, or if you're in an area that is, you know, no more than 8 people can congregate, you need to work with that TO to say, okay, how many people are coming to your event? And if it just violates that statute, you're not to reissue the token. Other parts of the world, life continues as usual, so they will continue to move forward with ITC events. This has created quite a fervor among some of the players. And I don't know, Ray, have you any thoughts about the idea that maybe a 60-day pause is detrimental to the league at this point?
I don't think so. It all comes down to the people who want to keep going at this. There's you know, people who normally do all the gaming, this could be their chance to start getting their models painted. I know I'm guilty of playing armies that are nothing but gray plastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the head. The competitive players are going to get their games in. You also got to remember the way the ITC works is even if you attend 17 tournaments, or if you're someone like Ray with this work schedule, it struggles to get the minimum 6, by the way. Yep, that changed. 6 events in, it doesn't matter. They take your best 6 results. So if you miss a week, I mean, last year I had to take 3 months off from competitive play due to a family issue. And good news is everything worked out great with the family issue. Things could not have been better. But there were plenty of opportunities for me to make up ground. And I still could have been competitive. That just didn't happen towards the end of the year for my own fault. That's nothing to do with the ITC. So there's a lot of clamoring that the ITC should shut down worldwide because there's this idea that some guy in Norway is getting 3 extra tournaments in during this COVID-19 cessation while we hear like guy in New York City is sitting in his apartment painting models, can't play.
Yeah, and I
it should even out by the end of the year. Oh, go right ahead.
Because a lot of people are forgetting that this is a worldwide tournament circuit at this point. And as such, everybody should be able to have their fair chance at play. Well, a lot of the people, there have been events in China. And back in, you know, January, February, while we were getting our games in, there were areas there that were on full lockdown. They couldn't get their games in there. Why should we make them wait until we can play games? We didn't shut down then.
That's an excellent point. I didn't even put that together. That's an excellent point. Yeah, you're right. So, Theo, I do agree it'll all balance out at the end. I don't think we should sequester at this point. I think the bigger thing to think about down the road is you're going to get those events that can reschedule. There's going to be a log jam towards the end of the year. And I'm really concerned for some of those events because now it becomes, for example, you know, if you're planning out your year and I'm going to travel to this big event, I'm going to travel to that big event. Now, all of a sudden I thought I was going to have 6 weeks between events to, you know, ratchet up the bank account. Now I've got 2 weeks because they had to reschedule. So events that I originally was going to spend in April and May are now in September and August. Ouch. Other thing, you know, too, is I can only talk from my personal experience. Just because we're home and not doing a whole lot doesn't mean my expenses went away. So, as a matter of fact, I'm in kind of a different situation where there's a lot of folks out there who lost their jobs. I know locally here in Arizona, the unemployment is up 15 times or one, you know, what it normally is in 1 week. So it's, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs because of this COVID thing, and they may get them back later on. We have no idea. So that's another hit. You know, can players come back and have the money to continue in the hobby? Or just because you're allowed to congregate and hang out with your friends, you might be, it's okay, Games Workshop isn't sending any new models because I can't afford anything right now. So that might be a lot of players content to where they are at. So very interesting times at this point. One last, so I hate to be so boxy about it, but a commercial issue. Our tournament, Scorched Earth Open, in case you missed the announcement, we have officially rescheduled. It is, we've moved it to Labor Day weekend. So that is the good news. Well aware that will conflict with the Nova Open. So I do mean no harm against Mike Brandt and that wonderful tournament I've been attending. I think I've been there 5 times now. It's a fantastic event. But looking at our group, you know, who was going to our tournament, not most of them said we're not originally planning to go to Nova anyway. So I don't think we're actually competing with each other. So it should be moving forward. But in the meantime, you know, the guy who I'm running the tournament with, you know, it's part of the Arizona Game Fair. He's in a real pickle because not only is he already paid the cost of the event, although because a lot of times in convention arenas want their money up front and then you make up for it with vendor booth and ticket sales. But now he also has to put down the deposit for next year's event already before collecting any money from this event. So a little bit of that is rough. And then the last thing is I was completely unaware of this. It's one of those things where I try to pride myself on listening to all other games, not just 40K. And this is one I was totally unaware of. We're so used to being talking about BCP. Best Coast Pairings has this wonderful function where you can sell tickets to your event through Best Coast Pairings. It's great. Just don't be surprised at the end of the year when you get an income tax statement from California. My wife saw that that letter come in the mail. She nearly flipped her lid. I was like, no, we can get this fixed. Called my accountant. We can get this fixed, right? So apparently he uses another service called Tabletop Events, which is very similar. And it's basically used for every other event other than 40K and Fantasy Flight Games. Yeah, they went out of business 3 weeks ago. So he's now scrambling to, A, get the money back so he can refund people from the previous event, but now trying to find out what software am I going to use and have it up and ready by Labor Day. So lots going on at this particular point. So we'll see how this works out. So lots of big pieces in the industry. Hopefully this will work out. But the last topic for the news, and this is nothing came up, snuck up on me. Ray, you seem to know a little bit more about it, and also wanted to pick your brain with your Magic the Gathering background that you have. But Tabletop Simulator suddenly has become the hot topic of the week.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything at all about it until I saw a YouTuber that I will watch the videos for. It's Chapter Master Valorak. He was playing Warhammer 40K on it. He was playing a small game, and I can definitely understand starting out small with that. It's been around for a little while, but it's on Steam, and it's a way to play tabletop game. Now, to play something like Warhammer 40,000 on it, you have to get some modifications that you download, which apparently are all free, so that's kind of nice. The game itself isn't expensive. It's about 20 US dollars, and after some training, you can basically play 40K with someone on the other end of a computer. And the nice thing is when you set up a game, you basically set it up in your own little private server where only the people that you invite by giving a password for it can be on there. It's somewhat simplistic. The graphics aren't amazing, but it's really passable. And it's definitely an option for anybody who's stuck indoors and still really wants
to. It definitely looks like a really good practice tool. I can't for the life of me remember what there was an older version I remember used to try to play. It was terrible because it only had one view, so it's two-dimensional. So line of sight was a big problem playing the game. But it was, like I said, it had passable graphics. And it was kind of nice because both players had painted models. And you could change your paint scheme just with a couple clicks of the mouse. It was kind of cool. And it was awesome. A great way to play with players that are major distances apart or even across town. Didn't matter, but it easily got some practice games in. For some reason, all of a sudden, people want this to replace or have games count for ITC on this thing. And I was like, well, wait a minute, hold on. So I think that's a bit outlandish. But then I thought, maybe I'm being a curmudgeon, because when I was doing some more research on Magic the Gathering, they have electronic. Actually, they're putting more focus on the electronic game than the card game at this point. So, I know, Ray, you've had more experience with Magic the Gathering than I did. Are we missing an opportunity here?
Only potentially. But there's a few things you have to take into account. Wizards of the Coast, who own Magic the Gathering, run Magic the Gathering Online. And generally speaking, anything that involves Magic the Gathering Online stays to Magic the Gathering Online. If you're winning huge championships in Magic the Gathering Online, that's where you're winning it. Those points remain on that format. So it would be like, here's an example. If ITC were to do something like this, the rule would be any points you get for the ITC by playing Tabletop Simulator would stay for that. Doesn't matter how good you do on there, the moment you're at a regular tournament, only those points would count for that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, so basically there's an e-circuit, and then there's the card circuit for Magic the Gathering, and the two never cross. Okay, got it. Oh, wow, that's interesting. So yeah, there's a potential to do a...
Online. Huh. Yeah, and another important point here too is we get to the problem that we always see when it comes to third parties and Games Workshop. If it cuts into their profits, they will do a CNA. So let's be honest. This is a great way to practice if you can't meet up with someone. But the moment this becomes a main way for people playing tournaments, Games Workshop will shut it down. They can't, now they can't get rid of it completely, but they can make it where you can't use those kind of mods without getting in trouble. And regardless of what the people who create the mods will think, Steam will comply because they're a big company. They will comply. So let's just utilize it for what we should utilize it for, practice games, and make sure that this option that we have during this pandemic remains there and as something we can do even after that, as opposed to something else that we might lose right smack during the middle of all this.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, maybe something down the future, but for now, let's take the gift we have and enjoy it. Don't ruin it. So interesting. But yeah, I wanted to get your feed on that because I was like, wow, this, maybe we're missing an opportunity. But great thing to look at, but I don't think we're there yet. At least not going to get it done in the short time that we have this pandemic going on. So, all right. So if you're enjoying that, if you're getting together, getting some hobby time together with in your local area, keep posting that up. Don't be afraid to post it also to our Facebook page. I will eventually start posting some of the stuff I've been working on. Right now, there's not much, a lot of bare plastic and bare MDF. But we'll get that up as soon as we can. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about all things Adepticon preview right after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, welcome back. For those of you who got up at the crack of dawn West Coast time, it was 7 a.m. West Coast time, 2 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time in jolly old England. Games Workshop did a very unprecedented thing. They continued with the preview seminar that they're originally going to unleash at Adepticon. And for those who didn't see it, it was awkward because each of the members of Games Workshop's team that was presenting literally presented from their house. So some folks like Andy Hoare and I can't think of his first name, Phil Kelly, were have these quite impressive studies with all kinds of hobby room set up. It looked really impressive. Other folks, like the main guy who was running the master ceremonies, was literally doing it in his attic, which is like an upstairs room in his little house in England. So it was really funny to get a kind of glimpse behind the camera of these legends of Games Workshop broadcasting from their homes. But several key items were unleashed, and some related to competitive, some of them not so much. So let's get down to it. Every 15 minutes, they rolled out a new preview. The first one being the latest from Storyforge, which I didn't realize Games Workshop came up with a name for this.
Yeah. I think they just came up with the name of it because I only remember
okay. I totally missed it for
like a day or two ago. So yeah,
Storyforge for those who don't. Yeah.
Storyforge is where all the television shows are.
And we have a new show, which actually looks pretty impressive.
Yeah. So we already knew about the Angels of Death, which was the Blood Angels. This one is called Hammer and Bolter. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because that was the anthology book series that's been going off and on for a while. And to an extent, that looks like that's exactly what this is going to be, too. So the trailer was for what they call Death's Hand. I don't know if it's one episode or multiple episodes. So the thing about an anthology is you never know if it's going to be episode per episode or if it's going to be season by season.
Yeah, not sure either, which would kind of be neat if they had like kind of think of like a Black Mirror type thing where they have a new season of this, but they have like 6 or 7 episodes, but each episode is their own standalone story. So that might be the route they're going with. That'd be kind of cool. They could also do it like, wow, I'm really going to show my age here in a second. Liquid Television, where when they came out with a new season, each week they would have one episode of each series. So like they had Aeon Flux and The Max and a couple other shows, and so like 1 week they would have one episode of each, and then shows that didn't have as many episodes there every other week, and they intersplice that with another show so that every other week odd numbered episodes were this show and even number episodes were this show. They could do that. I think it'd be really cool. But it's still the number one answer question Ray asked every time we talk about this group is, what's the platform? Is this going to be a Netflix show? Is there a paywall on their website that we're going to have to go through? Still don't have an answer for that. But all they're saying is sign up for our newsletter or Instagram page and you'll get more updates. So as we find out more updates, we'll let you know.
Yeah. But so
the animation is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd say the quality of the animation is really cool.
I'm actually kind
of excited. So what's next, Ray? What came up next?
So the next thing that came up was actually for Age of Sigmar. Anybody who pays attention to the latest stuff for that knows they've been slowly presenting the new version of the High Elves, which have been getting stranger and stranger as every release comes out. and I think I honestly have to say this release takes the cake with, as I've been jokingly calling them, the Battle Cattle. I've also seen people call them Holy Cows. My personal favorite that I did not come up with is the Beaver of Secrets. So it's actually supposed to be sort of an avatar of mountain spirits. And I guess, yeah, you can kind of see that if you look at the shoulders and behind the head. But for the most part, it looks like a minotaur almost.
With spindly legs. It's really weird.
Yeah. Then they also went out. Hold on a second. Go ahead.
Just looking at the two models, I don't know how tall they're going to be. They may be something for some conversion bait for 40K. But interesting, as I'm looking at, there's two versions. I originally thought it was one with two hammers and one with one super big hammer. But they actually, the mountain range that makes up their shoulder pads is different for each model. So
yeah, so the one with the two hammers is actually more of a unique character kind of a thing. Almost like, you know, like how Dirthru was at one point its own tree lord kind of a thing. Something like that.
Oh, okay. And they appear to be that size. I'm reading through the description. The idea is that they should be able to go toe-to-toe with a bloodthirster. So I'm assuming they're probably the same size.
Yeah. And then, of course, they also showed the Stone Guard, which are elves wielding croquet mallets. And then they also have strange little helmets that have bull heads up on top.
Yeah, when I first saw this, I kind of was like, okay, game-wise, elves finally have something that hits hard as opposed to hitting fast and, you know, volume of attacks. Don't really know where Age of Sigmar is, but I remember back in the fantasy days, they never had like a heavy hitting unit. It says that seems odd, hammers. And then later that night, I watched Justice League for the first time. And then there's all the Amazons from Wonder Woman's island rocking hammers. So I was like, gee, I wonder where they got that idea from. So, so I don't know. Part of me says, buy the box. You've got some Cabalite warriors and use the hammers for your smash captains, but they do look like croquet mallets now that you mention it. So yeah, a box of heather elves, you know. Anyway, a very bizarre release for Age of Sigmar. I'm sure if you're an Age of Sigmar player, you're excited. You'll have to clue me in. I just don't get the joke. So I'll do the next one. The next release, I think I slept through it, to be honest with you. Biggest surprise to me was I had no idea they were still making models for The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, but they are. And once again, these are two characters that I don't remember from the book,
but
become available for on. Oh, it's one character, one with helmet, one without. Is that what I'm looking at?
It's the same character. You can have him with or without the helmet on his head and then on or off the horse.
That's fantastic. So Eomer, I have no idea. Who was this guy in the movie? Was he on screen for more than 2 minutes?
I honestly don't remember. If it wasn't, I'm sorry. I remember like four characters.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember. He's looking to be charging alongside Theoden and Gandalf. I'm like, okay, Theoden was Sean Bean's character. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, we're wasting too much time. Next one. Most important one of the day. We'll leave this one for Ray. Psychic Awakenings. Finally, some 40K.
Yep. So they announced the next chapter, which is War of the Spider. There was a lot of conjecture as to who would be in it, considering the name. Some people were saying Necrons. I was personally hoping it would be Necrons. There was the little bit of knowledge that there is a character from that was around in the Horus Heresy. He's still around now. Has nothing to do with the Necron. Well, pretty much nothing to do with the Necron. After all, he's a Chaos Space Marine. And he got the nickname of the Spider. Who is it? It's Fabius Bile. And sure enough, he is the central figure in this story. And he's got a new model, which you can see a lot of inspiration from the last iteration of the model. It also looks a lot more menacing. And if you've seen the cover of any of the recent book that had him in it as the main character, it looks a lot like that picture. They did a really good job on it.
Yeah, don't snooze at it like I did. The first time I looked at it, was like, oh, they didn't make any changes. Then you see them side by side, you're like, oh, yes, they did.
So the factions in this one are the Death Guard, the Assassin, Talons of the Emperor, and basically Fabius Bile, and a new Chaos Space Marine sub-faction that they call the Agents of Bile. So,
which was interesting, because again, a lot of conjecture was the Emperor's children were getting a separate book. I was like, they were just in Faith and Fury. How are they getting a separate book?
Yeah.
So there you go.
The thing about Bile is, at least in the stories, and you have to remember to some extent, the stories explain certain things when it comes to the game. So Fabius Bile broke off from the Emperor's children. He's kind of his own faction, which is why we're seeing this. So with that in mind, in theory, this would have been coming out in May. Will it come out in May? I don't know. I remember at one point them saying that they were planning on this ending in June, which meant one more book. So at this point in time, all the remaining factions can be expected in that theoretical last book, which includes Death Watch, Necrons, and Harlequins. And then there's one other that I keep forgetting that has been.
Harlequins, Necrons. I think you mentioned them all. We'll figure it out. Somebody's probably screaming at us right now, going, probably. No, you forgot us. So, yeah. But I know the Harlequin players are very upset that they got left out of Rise of the Phoenix. So interesting. Like you said, when it was kind of vague when they talked about it, seeing now in print, you know, so yes, Adeptus Custodes, Sisters of Silence, Assassins, Death Guard, which includes all 7 plague companies of the Death Guard. So quite a few of our local players are excited about that. And then this new, and they said his sub-faction, and they really didn't go into a lot of detail until we see it now, this Agents of Bile. So I'd be curious, because we saw that little helper dude that comes with the model, and it's, you know, with the gas mask and ganking a gene seed out of a fallen Primaris Marine. Looked really cool. So now, when you look at the logos, that's what's supposed to be in this book. They also have the demon code logo. So I don't know if Chaos Demons is going to be included in this book.
No, I think that's just supposed to be for Chaos here. Those four symbols. Yeah, that's
so that would be another fact. Yeah. Okay. So the demons have not received their psychic awakening treatment yet either. Then
they are getting theirs. They're an engine.
They are an engine war. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're still waiting on engine war, which is what. Both good guy and bad guy knights, demons, and Mechanicus? Is that what we're missing?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. So there we go. Hopefully this will wrap up and everybody will be up to date on this point. So pretty exciting news. No word on rules for Fabius Bile at this point or anything else. We'll keep our eyes posted and let you guys know via Facebook page if we come up with anything prior to next week's show. Our next update comes from my favorite game from Games Workshop, Warcry.
Well, I was excited about it.
I have to say it. I know. This is the faction you wanted for Warcry. So go ahead. Gush all over it.
Yeah, so when Warcry came out, all but 2 of the factions were released within the first, 2-3 weeks. The 2 factions that were left were the Varangard, and then, which have basically been released at this point. And then there's these. They're the Scions of the Flame, which they worship Chaos Undivided with the idea of fire, basically. So I was excited. I know of a couple people who play Warcry, so I plan on picking this up, painting them, and getting some games in. The thing I like about Warcry, of course, is that you can get it done in half an hour. And it's not overly complicated like Necromunda or the Underworlds game.
Yeah, I admit the models look really cool. There's a couple of them that can easily be used for substitutes or proxies or conversion bait. So it looks really cool. For me, I have a tough time just between Warcry and Underworlds. It's like, why do we need both? So I'm not sure, but if it's apparently working really well for Games Workshop, more power to them. But glad to hear they're finally... all the factions are out for that particular game. So curious to see what happens with future releases. So the next one, update, was it was originally teased, and everybody thought, is this for 40K? Is it for Horus Heresy? Answers came out that Saturday morning.
And of course, I was telling Eric before we started recording that I was laughing because I actually got the email before they even got to this part. So it was just a matter of sitting and waiting to find out. And I was waiting and I was waiting and I was waiting. And then finally they went through it. And even before they really admitted it, I could tell by the model, it's for 30K. Horus Heresy model, Lionel Johns. But they did manage to do something really neat. They gave him a helmeted option.
Yeah, I didn't realize the other ones didn't have helmeted options, so I thought that was
pretty... So anyone who knows a lot about the Dark Angels Lord will notice that he is not wielding the Lion Sword in the picture, but you can choose between that and his other weapon, which is called the Wolf Blade, kind of depending on at what point in time in the events of the Heresy you want to have him modeled. So he's got two different options for both the head and the weapon.
It's a pretty cool looking model, and it has another one of those display bases, and I guess that comes off so he can play with them in the game without all the dead Crimson Fists around you.
In theory, some of those work as being able to be taken apart. Some of them don't. Some of them you just kind of have to choose. Either way, nothing else. They make great, just models to like showcase.
So yeah, so sorry Dark Angel players, just when you thought a new 40K Primarch was coming into play, wrong game. And sorry to Ray for waiting and waiting and waiting, to be disappointed.
I don't even play Dark Angels. I'm just hoping that they'd release another Primarch for 40K.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing yet at this point. I'm still on the fence how I feel about it, but I don't know. But then again, part of me is like, if I want Fulgrim, I guess I got to play nice in the sand and make sure the Imperium gets a couple more. All right. And the last one I thought was the coolest thing of the release back to 40K at this point. So I kind of forgotten about this, that Games Workshop has been releasing some event-only models. Well, what happens when the event gets canceled? Well, they are doing a really cool thing, is if you would like to order the Adepticon model, you can do so from their website without having to attend Adepticon, which was canceled. Kind of nice.
Yeah. Another nice really thing cool is model. There's no production going on right now. Yeah. I was just going to say, and since there's no production going on right now, they've basically made it where everybody who orders it will get it what do they call it? The made for the order, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Made to order. Yep.
Okay. And so Adepticon was supposed to be the last time you could get this.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, this one had been around for a little while. Adepticon was supposed to be the last time he was available.
So get it while you can. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Primaris Lieutenants. I think there's been enough of them. But this one looks pretty cool.
Now, just as a quick reminder for anybody who feels a little bit disappointed by this week's previews, there is another one this next Saturday. And I've been hearing a lot of people say that they think this next one will be a lot more 40K oriented.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I had to say, I walked away. I was like, really? That was it? But I'm trying to be positive. And so we'll see what the next one comes through. Yeah, another one next week. So, but anyway, that is the news from Adepticon, or the preview that would have been at Adepticon. After the break, we'll get into the latest news and get ready for our next week's episode. Be back after this. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, from drinks to dessert, and use unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. All right, welcome back from the break. We was able to download the latest Saga of the Beast. To be honest, did a cursory look at it. Some interesting new stuff for both orcs as well as space wolves. Basically, all your Phobos stuff gets added to the to the space wolves. The other fun part is, if you were listening to the Tyranid preview where they had unique units, works get that. They're called subcultures. We'll get into that in greater detail next week. That way we have a little time to digest and read through it a little more carefully and bring up some new ideas. There's also quite a bit of new fiction that's put forward to move the story forward. So there's lots of stuff to go over there. In terms of ITC, as we mentioned, all the tokens have been pulled, so no changes in the ITC from last week. So we'll take a grander look at not only the individual standings, but probably look at best in faction and some other ideas as each of the Psychic Awakenings, we can see any trends going on there. So the top players based on their factions. So normally this is the time where I ask Ray to tell me, hey, what events we got next week? Ray, what events do we have next week?
Done. I don't even bother to look. No one's supposed to be doing it.
That's right. So if we're wrong, if we missed some isolated area that's impervious to the COVID-19 virus, we'll give you results on that. But in the meantime, like I said, if you've been hunkering down and getting some great hobby time in and got some new models to display, let us know. Post them up on our Facebook page, and we'd be more than happy to share it with the rest of our listeners. Last but not least, we've also noticed a major uptick in our number of downloads since COVID-19. So I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for taking the time to listen to our lovely podcast. And we'll continue to plug along as both of us continue to work during this very uncertain time. And so you can always count on us to keep you guys informed on all things competitive. So in the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.